And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the Southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about this show. This show goes like Tuscaloosa. Where am I? Huntsville back over to Chattanooga. I'm talking about Tuscaloosa back over to Gadsden. I mean, all the way down to that lovely little village on the plains we call Auburn, right across the border from there to what we get to call once again Fort Benning. And then, yeah, big old patches of North Georgia and Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure.
I think you just said Hunts Tuscanooga.
You never been there before?
Not Hunts Tuscanooga.
Got some of the best ribs around. Hunts Tuscanooga is the home of the best ribs I've ever eaten.
We need to get on in Hunts Tuscanooga. There's got to be a station there.
Listen, Hunts Tuscanooga is like the center of the universe as far as I'm concerned. And right now I'm having a hard time appreciating you, just so you know. All right, let's quit jabbering. We're going to go to this thing we call JP on Sports. Once in a while we do this. Yeah, it's Friday afternoon. And so we set aside policy. We set aside politics for the most part. And we just go take a run at what's going on in the world of sports, because JP happens to be a guru on sports, like a near savant when it comes to sports. And I'm not talking about one sport. I'm talking about sports. So for those of y'all that don't know, he has a podcast called Out of Right Field, which is conservative commentary blended with sports. Comes out every week on Right Side's website and YouTube. He also previously had his own Saturday morning radio show about sports. In the meantime, we have two rounds we do. The first round is called the three and out. That gives the top three stories. And then we come back second round. It's called the 2-minute warning. I have a timer and a buzzer. JP, I'm through talking. Three and out. Go for it.
You missed my sound effect.
Oh, wait. Hang on a second. And he has the best sound effect in all of Right Side Radio because some sorority girls from Auburn made it for him. Hit it.
JP on Sports!
Nice.
Can't wait to forget the sound effect, man.
Take it away, man.
All right. Well, first, this is going to be, I think, the biggest story of the three and out, and rightfully so, because I think it points out a lot of problems in the world of sports talk right now. So, last weekend, we had an incident with Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese, which really,
oh boy,
in and of itself, wasn't much of an incident. It was the response to that incident, and everything's about race, obviously. And now we've got sports talking heads taking sides, but for the wrong reasons. And they're taking personal attacks at each other. So RG3, he put out a video in response to this incident with Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark. And he said that clearly Angel Reese hates Caitlin Clark because of her, you know, out of scale response to something that was really just a hard foul because she had a free layup. It's something that happens all the time in basketball. But Angel Reese went after Caitlin Clark after that. So RG3 was saying that clearly her response that was not proportionate to what Caitlin Clark did to her underscores, you know, she genuinely hates Caitlin Clark. It's more than basketball. And he was just making that just simply stating his opinion. Then Ryan Clark, who is a ESPN talking head, he also has his own podcast. This is the guy, by the way, who said before the draft that teams are going to pass on Shador because they're intimidated by his young black confidence.
That's right.
He went on his podcast and said that RG3 can't have an opinion on the matter because he married a white woman. And
oh my gosh,
he doesn't have conversations in his household about the true plight of black women in America.
So he's disqualified.
Yeah, basically. And apparently, you know, when RG3 and Ryan Clark were working together at ESPN, they had some personal beef behind the scenes. So I think this is something personal that happened before that is being just brought to the forefront. But that right there alone is what's so wrong with a lot of the sports talking heads, and mainly with ESPN, because everything in ESPN is politicized and they're always on the wrong side of everything. But why do you have to bring somebody else's wife into this matter?
You didn't have to. That's just it.
If you're talking, you know, just talking about sports. Now, I will give Ryan Clark some credit, I guess, because literally about an hour ago, he put up a tweet and a video about how if he had to do it again, he wouldn't have brought his wife into it. It only took him about a week to do that, and he shouldn't have done it in the first place.
It makes you wonder if his boss has told him he had to.
Exactly. If he was told to you know, make that statement. But it's just, I'm so tired of everything being a race issue.
Yeah.
This story should have been nothing more than a hard foul on injuries by Caitlin Clark, but it exploded into this race divisive thing when it really didn't have to. So I'm ready to get the sport or the politics out of sports. Except, you know, when it comes to stuff like NIL or the common sense thing, like keep transgenders out of women's sports. But stuff like this didn't have to be turned into what it was. And I'm tired of it being turned into that every single time. So, well, we'll see. Hopefully, I feel like this Angel Reese, Caitlin Clark thing in and of itself is becoming a race issue because of Caitlin Clark, you know, everybody going after her in the WBA. It's a
clickbait story.
It's a clickbait story, but it doesn't have to be, and I'm tired of it turning into that. But Stephen A. Smith made a great point about how this is almost turning into like the Larry Bird Magic Johnson rivalry because, you know, that was during a time in America where everything was, you know, divided on race. But we're in 2025. Why does it have to be? Caitlin Clark is just simply a great player and is making the WNBA popular. It should just end there. Well, but of course, it's not.
The press also needs this. I mean, I'm not going to take too much of your time, but I noticed right behind you on the screen earlier here in the studio that CNN was running with a story that we need to all remember this Memorial Day weekend is exactly 5 years since George Floyd died.
Yeah.
And I thought, come on. That's not even, come on.
That's not what we should be remembering on this Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah. All right, three and out. There's one. What's two?
So we have the NBA playoffs continuing to go on, and we're in the Western and Eastern Conference Finals. We had a big, a massive game where it was a truly dramatic finish. I believe it was two nights ago where the Pacers eliminated a 17-point deficit and were able to send it into overtime with a last-second shot, and the Pacers ended up getting the win.
Wow.
So this could be a big, dramatic series between the Pacers and the Knicks. We got game two tonight. We also have the Thunder, who are up 2-0 on the Timberwolves, and it's not looking like much of a fight from the Timberwolves in that game. So that one may turn into a sweep or a gentleman's sweep, if you want to get to. But I think this Eastern Conference Finals is going to be high drama. If you remember Reggie Miller, who, you know, the Pacers player, who had a similar thing where he hit about 3 three-pointers in about 13 seconds or something like that against the Knicks in the playoffs and did the choke gesture. After Tyrese Haliburton on the Pacers, which same team Reggie Miller played on, he hit the three-pointer at the end to send it to overtime and hit the same choke gesture with Reggie Miller commentating at courtside at the game. So he did the choke and, you know, pointed out. It was a great moment. But I think that may be the best series going on right now. I'm looking forward to watching the rest of that series.
So they close on a 17-point spread. That's
that is a choke right
that's
there.
That's a super choke.
Yeah.
I mean, you're almost into like, you know, into the 20-point spread, and then you just blow it.
In Madison Square Garden, home court.
In Madison Square Garden.
Yeah. So we'll see. Wow. I think I predicted the Knicks to make the finals, but if they continue to choke like that, it may be the Pacers running away with it. But, yeah, I'm very excited to watch the rest of that series.
All right. That's two. You got about 3 minutes. What's three?
Well, we got a big return in baseball today. Ronald Acuña Jr. for the Braves makes his return.
You've been talking about this for a month.
And makes his return finally today from his ACL injury. So this has been the long-awaited return after he tore his ACL about a year ago this month or so. He'll finally be making his return today. So big get for the Braves to get him back. But we'll see. Like I keep saying, you know, if the Braves can keep themselves at about 500 when they get him back, they can make a run, hopefully. And they're sitting at one game under 500 right now. And I told you, Memorial Day weekend, I don't even look at the standings till Memorial Day weekend. So it's perfect timing for, I think, Acuña to come back for the Braves there. But also across the league, we had a great weekend of rivalry weekend, although there were a lot of great rivalries that weren't played on that weekend. But we had still rivalry weekend where we had the Mets and the Yankees going at it. There was a big storyline in that game. Juan Soto, who actually left the Yankees to go to the Mets across town, was playing in that game. And there's a lot of drama because I can't remember the name off the top of my head who these people are, but, you know, they got a group in right field of Yankee Stadium that are, rowdy fans. They do chants throughout the game. They have a name, and it's escaping me at the moment, but when Juan Soto went to right field, which is where he plays, the entire section in right field turned their back on Juan Soto because he turned his back on them. But the Yankees ended up getting the win for the series 2-1. So, yeah, it was a great storyline there from this past weekend as well. But yeah, it's we're about to hit that point in the summer with baseball where it's we're about to see where the teams are starting, where they're at right now. I think you get a good gauge of where they'll be at the rest of the season.
Are those Rowdies, are they Mets or Yankees fans? Would you say
Yankees fans? It's driving me nuts. I can't remember the name.
I'm trying
off the top
to find
of my head.
I'm trying to find it. I'm trying to find it. The Bleacher Creatures.
The Bleacher Creatures. I think you're right. I think that's yes. I think that's correct.
Yeah, that's it. The most notable group of Rowdy fans for the New York Yankees are known as the Bleacher Creatures.
The Bleacher Creatures.
Yeah, they sit in the right field.
Yeah, and they also do this thing where every game they chant the person's name on the field. They go from left field all the way to first base, and they chant their name until the player recognizes them. So, like, they'll chant, you know, like, Aaron Judge, Aaron, until he, like, you know, recognizes them. And then they go to the next player. And then they go to the next player. And they go to the next. So, yeah, it's a cool tradition there. But, yeah.
I cannot imagine. I mean, there are some – first of all, there's not many places – in all of baseball where there's two major teams in the same city.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot imagine going across town between Yankees and Mets. I can't imagine.
Yeah, and he was only at the Yankees for one season, but he set a record with his contract he signed with the Mets. It's 15 years, $765 million Juan Soto signed with. So, you know, I can't blame him for taking that contract.
And what's his guarantee? He's got a guarantee on some of it, I'm sure. Like if he got injured, he'd still get paid out a certain amount.
Let's see. Well, I'm seeing he had a $75 million signing bonus, so there's that.
I will settle for half of that. Just half.
Hey, just for signing it, he got $75 million.
I'd be glad. I'll tell you what, I'll do it for a third.
Yeah. So I can't blame him for taking that contract, but Yankees fans obviously took a slight from that.
I would say yes. All right, man, that's three and out. Good job. First round, JP on sports. We'll come right back from the break, and I've got a timer and a buzzer. We do the two-minute warning. All the stories in the world about everything sports, 2 minutes each. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just, man, making common sense like a superpower. All right, we're back to round two of JP on Sports. I will say this, JP, before you get started. There are people asking for your picks because they want to bet on them. And this is not a betting website.
I don't bet on sports. I live in Alabama, a non-betting state, obviously.
I'm just saying that they shouldn't even ask is what I'm
exactly
saying. Exactly. All right, round two. I have a timer and a buzzer. We call it the two-minute warning. JP, 2 minutes, go.
So if you remember last week, I talked about Saban was selected to co-chair this commission on college sports that Trump enacted.
Yeah.
That has now been placed on pause, that commission.
I heard that.
So it's kind of weird timing because last weekend, or I think it was last weekend, that they had the region's golf tournament in Birmingham. Saban was asked about this commission, and he said, you know, I don't know much about this commission. I don't want to talk about something I don't know about. But then he said something about how he doesn't even know if there needs to be a commission. There just needs to be one person who's brave enough to do what needs to be done. Kind of alluding to, like, just a commissioner instead of a commission, which part of me agrees with Saban. If you get these commissions... A commission to have a commission. I'm just tired of the like commissions. I feel like somebody like Saban, our coach who's been in this for a long time, knows what needs to be done. Instead of having a bunch of people to approve, just have one commissioner instead of a commission. So I don't know. It could have had nothing to do with Saban saying that. It may have just been something else. But it was kind of interesting timing that Saban was selected to do this. And then after those comments, it's been now placed on hold. So we'll see. We'll see if they shift to having one single commissioner or just a commission as a whole. But obviously, if Saban is saying that, then maybe he's alluding to, like, guys, you know, there's somebody, like, we all know what needs to be done. We don't need a commission. Just have somebody that does what needs to be done. So
I've heard it said before, the quickest way to kill a good idea is to send it to a committee.
Exactly. It's like how you have, you know, committees upon committees, like in Birmingham, they had a committee to decide, you know, how to stop violent crime. It's like stuff like that, of like some stuff you don't need committees for. You just need to get it done. So we'll see. We'll see if they shift towards a commissioner look or if they try to move forward with this commission later on.
Well, you got 20 seconds left on this clock, so who's going to be the commissioner? Is it going to be Saban, or are you saying it's Trump? Is it going to be an executive order from Trump, or are we saying?
I'd love for it to be Saban. I don't know if Saban wants to do that. Saban's got an ESPN job. He's got to be it every week, and it may be a conflict of interest. But if in a perfect world, I'd say Saban.
And there's your timer. All right, reset the clock. That's the first 2 minutes. Go.
So along the same thread here of college football, there's a big change in the college football playoff. So one of the big critiques with the college football playoff last year was the seeding. And the top four seeds would be, you know, the conference winners, and one of those would be the group of five, you know, conference winner.
It's first year we've done that, right?
Yeah, and Boise State was that team this year. They were the fourth seed. And then they go and I wouldn't say they got steamrolled by Penn State, but it wasn't really close.
Yeah.
So people are wondering, why don't you just do the straight seeds from top to bottom instead of, you know, flipping around so that a group of five can be a four seed every year? That doesn't work because you're going to get teams are playing harder competition before they get to Boise State or whoever. And Boise State got a bye when they're not as good as those teams that had to play earlier on. So they've changed it to just straight seeding top to bottom, 1 through 12, and they're done with making, you know, the group of five team be the four seed, and just the top 12 teams top to bottom in order are going to be the seedings from here on out, which is a great, you know, fix. I would still like for there not to be, you know, conference champions get byes in general, which, you know, this may be what that is, you know, but who knows, maybe the conference champions will be the top four anyways. This is a step in the right direction. I'll say that.
What drives me crazy though, is they're making this rocket science.
Yeah.
They're making it rocket science. Well, just have a freaking playoff.
The problem is money is the driving factor for a lot of this.
Yeah, but okay. And money's ruining college football. But
so I don't even think there should be 12 teams in general. I think it should be 8 max. But they're also talking about, you know, the SEC and the Big Ten get 4 automatic bids every year. And then Big 12 gets like 2 or something. That's money right there. That's money talking.
That's money. That's also going to be a riot.
Yeah, I'd say so. So who knows? Maybe this is an acknowledgement that they know some of the stuff that needs to get fixed, and hopefully some of the other things will get fixed eventually, but step in the right direction.
And there's 2 minutes. There's a buzzer. Reset the clock and go.
SEC baseball tournament is coming to...
War Eagle.
Well, both of our teams are out of this. But Tennessee got a big win yesterday against Texas, the number one seed in the SEC tournament, where Tennessee was the 8th seed. So Tennessee is now moving on, and they'll be playing Vanderbilt in the semifinals. But right now, we actually got Ole Miss and Arkansas playing right now, and they will play the winner of Texas A&M LSU in the semifinals there as well. Unfortunately, it pains me to say it, because I can't stand Tennessee in any sport. However, it looks like Tennessee is on a roll, and they got to play Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt won a series against Tennessee.
You just alienated a huge chunk of our audience, by the way.
I got to be authentic and honest here, okay? I'll give you my unbiased take while throwing my bias in as an acknowledgement there.
And throwing your body on the live grenade.
Yeah. So, you know, I think Tennessee and Vanderbilt, like I said, Vanderbilt just got a series win against Tennessee to end the regular season. And it almost ended in a fight afterwards, because obviously Tennessee and Vanderbilt in-state rivals. After Vanderbilt got the win, we almost had a benches cleared moment between both of the teams. So this is going to be an exciting game, a dramatic game over there in Hoover to decide who goes to the SEC championship. But my vote, if I had to pick, Tennessee's on too much of a run now. We'll probably see Tennessee moving on to the championship there over there in Hoover.
Is that your vote or your prediction?
That's my prediction. My vote. I don't want Tennessee to win. I think Tennessee will win.
I thought you gave in there for a second. No. Oh, my gosh. All right. You came in way under the clock on that one. You got time for a little overtime, so go for it.
Well, we got about 30 seconds here. Stanley Cup, the NHL playoffs are still going on as well. We got the Eastern and Western Conference finals here. The Dallas Stars are currently up 1-0 against the Edmonton Oilers. And then we got the Florida Panthers, who are up 2-1 against the Carolina Hurricanes. The Dallas Stars... I don't know. There's something about the Dallas Stars. I mean, they're in the same, you know, city as the Cowboys, obviously, which is the Stars. But
Stars.
The Dallas Stars. I don't know. I think that's a great. I love the names of the NHL teams. Edmonton Oilers, the Carolina Hurricanes. These are all great names. But I'll definitely be watching the Stanley Cup Finals this year. That's one of my favorite finals to watch in all sports. I don't watch much hockey throughout the year, but I always tune in for the Stanley Cup Finals. So that's coming up too in about 2 weeks. Stanley Cup Finals.
Which is the biggest trophy in all of sportsdom.
Best trophy in all of sportsdom.
Biggest and best trophy, they say, in all of sportsdom. And then Connor from Athens checked in and says Florida Panthers.
Nice. Florida Panthers.
All right, you guys, there it is. JP on Sports coming up for the final hour of a Friday afternoon. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We got some adventures in woke world coming.